Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, tonight I'm going to talk to you from Proverbs 22 and 6. Probably many of you already know what that verse says. And then I may use also verse 15, I believe. Verse 15. No, I missed that. It's somewhere along there. I'll get to it after a while. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 6. And then there is another one about the child, about verse 21 or somewhere along there. I'll get to it. But anyway, it does not say bring up a child in the way it should be. It does not say bring up a child. It does not say jerk him up by the hair of the head. It does not say leave the teaching to the babysitter. It does not say that television or any other means of mechanical devices would be a good trainer to train the child in the way it should go. But it does say train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we use this and try to make it apply to the born-again experience. It doesn't always fit there. Solomon was not really talking about conversion. He was not really talking about the Holy Ghost or baptism in Jesus' name. He just simply talking about a way a child should go and train him up. Now, in our day, that would incorporate into this. But faith must be generated into the hearts of people for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody receives the Holy Ghost just because their parents has. Nobody receives the Holy Ghost just because they attend Sunday school or church all their life. I'll have to admit that's a big help, and I'm all for it. But somewhere along the way, through the singing, through the testimonies, through the lives, through the prayers, through things that happen to what's her name, Michelle? These things, she'll never forget this. She will never forget this. I was healed at 7 years old, never to forget the healing power. If I'd give credit to one thing that has caused me to be what little I am for the Lord, the original start would go back to the healing of blood poisoning when I knew absolutely nothing about God, and my folks took me to what they call a holy roller meeting and had me prayed for. Brother Sam, I never forgot that. All through school, I witnessed the kids. I knew it was real. Not only did I get well, I felt something, a warmth, almost inexplainable. I felt a warmth go through my body that made me know that the healing power was right. I never forgot it. I still use it as a testimony to this day. And when the devil would whip me, I would say, "The devil, I was healed." And I've got a few more things to tell him, too. Because in these 41 years or so, 42 years that we've been serving God, God has done so many things for us. Sometimes we have forgotten some of them until something happens that reminds us of that time that the blessings of God came down and healing took place. A little girl in Moore, her parents called me one day and wanted me to come down and pray for her, just a little child. She had a terrible abscess of some sort on her shoulder. It was the most terrible looking place that I nearly ever saw. And I prayed for her, and it was made whole in a few days. I didn't really recognize it maybe at that time as a divine healing, as a blessing. But later, many years later, and let me think, 10, 12, 15 years later, I moved to Illinois, and I pastored that young lady. She is now a married woman. And 15 years after the praying for her, maybe 16 years. And she came to me one time, and she said, "You know why I'm in the church today?" And I said, "Well, really, I know why." She said, "You remember the time I had that terrible abscess on my shoulder, and you came and prayed for me? I felt the touch of God, and I never could get away from that. And I know the realness of God. And I feel that that was one of the things that helped bring me to where I am in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm mentioning these things because we don't want our children to miss out on these blessings while we're training them. Now, you would be absolutely foolish if you allow your child to grow up in these days without learning to read, to write, and to get all the education they can. 50 years ago, 75 years ago, our nation, it was a different story. But today, with all the advantages, you would be absolutely stupid if you did not allow your children to get education. You are foolish if you're not interested in their welfare. You should see to it that they are cared for. Like since Michelle has moved in with us, we found out all we have to buy for groceries is Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran in the morning, Raisin Bran at noon, Raisin Bran at night, and she's happy. If I get 14 more grandkids that stays with me, I'm going to feed them Raisin Bran. I want to train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, like Johnny, he's got to where he's on it. He's hooked on starches. They will not depart from it. This lesson tonight must go deeper than just a mere scripture quoting. And I think that there are many things happening to our young people. They're going the way of the world because we do not or are not concerned about their training as we should be. Let me tell you a beautiful story of a family in Jonesboro while I was passing there. Their name is Hurst, Leon and Marveline Hurst. While I was there, they had two small children. Some of you kids will know Brian, Byron, I guess, and I forget the girl's name right now. The girl's a little older. And they were just, the boy, I would say, was five maybe at that time, and the girl maybe eight, something like that. When Marveline would come to the altar, every time she'd come to the altar during the altar service or during just prayer service, one of those children was on one side and the other on the other side. That's unusual. That's unusual. But that's mighty good training. I'm going to tell you, you can do that when they're five. You can do that when they're seven. But if you wait till they're 10, 12, 13, you're going to find rebellion. The pattern is already set, and they will not do it. And many of us, I never did my children that way. I've always been busy in the leadership of the church. They pray, and they're all in the church, and I thank God. But how beautiful it is to bring a little child with you to the altar and teach them to pray. I've noticed right here in our own church, some of the mothers take their children with them to the prayer room and they kneel with them. That's great. That's wonderful. Now, there's another side. I've seen this and I wouldn't dare call names, but I've seen little boys, little girls that were allowed to do things wrong that at least would be wrong if they were older. For instance, you would not think anything if you've got any sense at all. And I think you have. You wouldn't think anything about seeing a little girl. I'm talking about a little baby, just a toddler, just walking around with only a diaper on. We've all seen it. It's not offensive. I mean, it's she's cute. You don't think of it in terms of being indecent or that. But you've got to be careful. There comes a time when that must be stopped. You see, then you may graduate from that into to just the little panties that she's wearing. And still, nothing may not be thought anything about. But if you're not careful, then it goes on to little shorts because they play, they romp, they jump. Now, here's the catch. If you're not careful, you let these things go. And it gets to going at such a downhill momentum until one day she's a teenager and you can't say, "You can't wear that." And she said, "But Mom, you let me wear it when I was five." You say, "They don't remember when they're five? You're silly. I remember when I was two. Not everything, but some things." Amen. And if you train them up in the right way, just as soon as they're trainable, teach them clothes that are right in the eyes of the church and clothes that are not right in the eyes of the church. Hallelujah. Now, I could tell you a boy that is very wayward today. When he wasn't over that high, it was probably in to let the hair grow way down and hide two-thirds of the ears and just bob it off up front like Moe, if you know who Moe is. And it was contrary to the church teachings, and the pastor harped about it a little bit. But the parents, I guess, thought the pastor didn't know what he was talking about. So they put it, it's worse than just letting the little boy have his way and wearing his hair like he wanted to. It's worse than that. If you uphold that, you're also upholding rebellion against the church and against the pastor. And you're training him up all right, but you're training him up to be a renegade. You're training him up to rebel against any other church teaching. I mean, if I was attending a church, and kind of like Sister Franks was so nice to us one time, and she brought us banana pudding and some other good things to eat with some special occasion. And my wife said, "Sister Franks, you're so wonderful." And she is a wonderful woman. So wonderful that I think we ought to give her a hand. Amen. And not because of banana pudding either. But that helps a little bit, that's right. But my wife said, "You know, if I had a pastor, I'd want to be to him like you are to brother." I said, "You have got a pastor, dear." "Oh, you know what I mean," she says. "But don't forget you've got a pastor. And it is important to work in harmony with the pastor to try to train your children up in the way that they should go. Sunday school is not enough. It's part of it. But the things that point to a downfall, the things that you should do or should not do. I even fuss at some of my grandson's hairdos sometimes. Because personally, I want to tell you something. And of course, you won't have to tell them because Brother Jackson's getting this on video and they'll see it sometime or another. But personally, I admire Howard Wayne and Imelda for having their boy Nathan's hair cut like a little man. As far as I'm concerned, that's the way it ought to be. Looks fine. Looks good. Amen. You don't agree with me? Okay, go ahead and raise you a hippie. Go ahead and raise you someone that's going to rebel against the church. I think you should train them. Now, as far as good looking, sure, it's fine. Better looking than them mop heads. Amen. The same applies to little girls. Teach them why they should have long hair. Teach them there's a meaning to it. You say, what is the meaning? Because of the angels. That's the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. What does that have to do with it? Angels are subject to God. Wives are supposed to be subject to their husband. Honey, some of these days you're going to be a wife. And you're going to have to learn subjection. Right now, you're under subjection to your daddy and to your mama and to the church. And someday, you're going to have to be under subjection to your husband. Just pray that you don't get a mean one. Because he can really work hardships on you. Let me tell you about Billy Henderson, she was my cousin. Billy Gray found God when she was a little girl, maybe 11 or 12 years old, maybe younger than that. I was her pastor when she was very young and I wasn't much older. But Billy started dating outside the church. And she married outside the church. Or maybe he had been in the church but was backslidden. And that's the worst kind. Amen. You are worse dealing with backsliders than you are dealing with someone that has not ever been in the church in a sense if they know the truth. But anyway, she married Bill Gray. And Bill loved to go to the shows. Billie Jean, I call her, my cousin, had always been taught against going to the shows, and I don't suppose she'd ever gone to one in her life. But she was also jealous. Now, please, don't nobody let them see this. They probably wouldn't see it. Probably think it's wrong to watch video. But she was real jealous. Bill would go to the show, and Billy would go sit in the truck and wait for him to come out. And it caused all types of problems. Thank God that Bill came into the church and now is a pastor of a church and all that. And that's fine and good. But it's just better to train them up in the right way. Now, of course, if I bear down on things I could say, the very first thing that some of you are going to think, but there isn't any boys in the church. Oh, yes, there is, and there'll be more if you'll just come in and worship God, because there, every old boy in the country would like to have a good girl like you, nice, clean, beautiful girls. And if you join them on the back seat, then that's exactly what they have got, a backseat Christian. But if you'll just keep on coming down toward the front, fixing your hair like a Christian, leaving off your ungodly look and putting on more of a spirit of holiness, be kind and be nice, the first thing you know, there'll be more young men in the church. Amen. Old Brother Hughes said, if you want more bucks in the church, send the does out to get them. That the bucks will follow the does around. And I believe, folks, if you'll get it, I had this girl in Illinois. She would never sit down front like y'all. She'd never take part in the worship, except she did like to sing specials. In fact, she'd get her feelings hurt if she didn't get to sing about every other service. And I wasn't as bold in those days as I am now. But she'd come in and park her carcass on the very back row with less people than we have here tonight, all kinds of empty seats between her and the congregation. She'd sit on the very back row and wait. You know what she's doing? Just hoping that some boy might come in off the street. Just one would come in, and I'd be back here handy where I could grab him before somebody else does. I know that spirit. Well, the fact is they passed her up and come down front and got them off the front rows. Amen. They're not wanting someone that's running after them. I'll tell you one other thing about that old gal when she did sing about every other song was, I go to church on Sunday, I break my vows on Monday. Kitty Wells special, you know. And that's exactly what she did. I don't think she even kept them on Sunday. But our obligation is to train up a child in the way it should go. If you've got a baby, and DeRay, you've got two of them, you've got a job on your hand. Teach them to pray. Teach them to dress right when they get old enough. Teach them to talk right. Teach them where to go and where not to go. Teach them that they belong in a church like this, that they can't stray around to every church in the country and ever know the truth. Teach them not to swap out with the neighborhood kids. That always leads to a downfall. I'll go to your church this Sunday, you go to mine next Sunday. That's no good. You say, why? Because I'm talking to people that know the truth. We know the truth. We are the people of God. Amen. We just cannot intermix faith that where there is no faith. Amen. Train up a child. This other verse that I never did locate here. Verse 15, thank you. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And that's got to be so. Solomon must have known what he was talking about. A heart of a child, foolishness is bound in his heart. I mean, he's just prone to be foolish. So he's got to be corrected from this. You say, well, I never was foolish. This is not talking about fun. This is talking about foolishness that would lead to all kinds of wrongdoing. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, Solomon believed in correcting the child. I had some boys, when we were building the Dewdrop Church, we had the walls up. Brother Daniels, Lawrence Daniels, came by and did all the wiring. He'd come by from work and by the job, and as we built the walls, old Brother Burns and his son was laying the blocks. Brother Daniels would come by and insert the conduit and whatever, you know, and getting everything ready for the electrical work. We had everything just about ready to put the rafters up. And the board was around on top of the blocks, the plate. And everything was ready to go. And Brother O.A. Smith came down to the house one day and he said, Brother Rutledge said, his wife came down and said, Brother Rutledge said, O.A. needs you down to the church. Otho, she called him. So I ran down to the church, and he had about four little boys hemmed up in the corner of that church. And he said, look what they've done. And you know, those fellows had found them a ramrod, And one of them had got up on top of that building and dropped a pencil, just a plain pencil, down through the conduit. And he wanted his pencil, so they got them a 2x10 or something that we had there, and they made a ramrod out of it. They back up and hit it. I guess they'd seen this on some show. And they had a hole that big around all the way through that building. I mean, it had to be fixed. So he said, what are we going to do with them? So I said, give them to me. And I marched them down to their grandpa, who was in charge of them. They were living with their grandparents. And so I took them down, and I said, I want you to come and go with me. I want to show you what these boys did. So I took them all, the grandparents and the children, back to show them what they'd done. And you know what that fella said? Why, you kids ought not to have done that. And that's right. They ought not to have done it. They needed a paddling. It's just like one day when we first started this church, we had a Coke machine. We tried that twice in this building. That doesn't work. But we had it in there, and the empties were sitting there at the front of the building. And some boys, one of them was Joe. Not Joe. Huh? No, not your boy. Used to be your brother-in-law, the big tall boy. Robert. Robert and some of his boys, they were only about 15 or 16 at that time, some of his boyfriends. They came by, and they got a handful of Coke bottles, and they broke them on the sidewalk, just all over the place. Brenda saw them, and she said, Daddy, those mean boys are breaking Coke bottles on the sidewalk. So I ran out of the house and down the road, and they were running by this time, almost halfway to the Second Baptist Church, and I hollered, stop! I guess I hollered, freeze! I hollered, stop! And so they stopped. And I said, now you boys come back and clean up that mess. And they said, we didn't make a mess. I said, okay, you want me to call the police? No, sir. I said, then come back and clean up that mess. So they came back and they said, get us a broom. I said, you didn't break them with a broom. Clean them up with your hands. So I feel sorry for them now. But they got down, and they got them a box, and they picked up all those little pieces of glass. I stood right there and watched them. You know why? I was giving them some training. Don't you do this again. I said, I want your name. And they reluctantly gave me their names, and I wrote them down. And they didn't want to. And I said, oh, I'm not going to do anything about this. You're paying for your fun today. But if it happens again, I'm going to be looking for you. Now, that's rough training, but it's all right. And I want you to know it's rough training when you try to paddle a foolishness out of the heart of a child that's in there. But a child can be conquered. Hallelujah. I said a child can be conquered. Now, that's one thing to make him behave. I remember once Brother Joe Evans was preaching for us, and his niece, which was Loretta Smith now, used to be Loretta Allen's little girl, Janice. And that was the squallinest, ballerness kid I've ever seen in my life in church. She was a great big kid, and she'd just take the whole service. And Loretta didn't have wisdom enough to carry her out. You know, when they get too bad, at least you can carry them out, you know. And my wife one night said, let me have Janice. And she took her. That's the same night Brother Joe Evans was preaching, and she out-squalled Brother Evans. You couldn't hear what he was saying. And he said, if Jan ever grows up, if she don't change, I hope she's never a member of my church. And my wife said, let me have her. And she took her out, and I think she's quit this now, so mamas don't get scared. But she took Janice outside the church, and when Janice came back in, she is ready to be quiet. I mean, there's a way to correct a child and make them know what church is. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. But really, the thing that I'm more interested tonight is train them up. Now, a man told me, and he's a dear brother, he told me some time ago, he said, I saw to it. He was talking about men growing up to be sissies. He said, I saw to it that I would teach my boys as they were growing up. I'd teach them how to fish. I would teach them how to hunt. I would teach them how to rough it. And how I taught them all these things because I wanted them to be men. I wanted them to be hunters. I wanted them to be fishermen. And he did all that, and he's successful. You don't have to guess long to know who I'm talking about. And I'm not reflecting against the boy. But in my heart, I thought, But brother, you must not have taught them how to pray. You must not have taught them how to live for God. And it's more important to teach your kids how to go to church, how to sing in the choir, how to testify, how to pray around the altar, how to be a part of the choir, how to serve God, than it is to teach them how to hunt and fish and do all these other things. I mean, that's in its place. That's kind of like play. You know, you're not going to keep young people from playing. Pastor or bishop, he's not going to keep young people from playing. There's just so much play in them, they're going to do it. If they're not pitching horseshoes, they're going to be playing volleyball. They're going to be playing tennis. They're going to be playing softball. They're going to be playing basketball. I'm aware of this. But I think the church, if it's not careful, can be real, can get out of order by overemphasizing this and cultivating this.
Right.
And not teaching them what the church is all about. Now, as far as a ball game is concerned, or a tennis game is concerned, or a horseshoe game is concerned, you could be saved without knowing any of that. I know that you'll learn most of these things on your own, and you'll get together, and it's all right. I'm not preaching against that, but I am preaching against building a great big gymnasium and having a little bitty prayer room. I am preaching against going all out for play and not out for praise. I am preaching against being interested in sports and not being interested in youth service. I am preaching against being interested in vacations only and not putting your kids in youth camp. They need youth environment. You look in our community, both from the Dewdrop Church and this church, those parents who kept their kids away from youth camp, those parents who did not encourage their kids to be a part of the youth service, those are the kids that are gone today. They're out in the world. I'm telling you, it pays. You say, yeah, but I don't like everything that goes on. Well, do you like everything that goes on at the beach? Do you like everything that goes on at the other activities where they go? If you let them go to the ball games, do you like everything that's going on at the ball games? You know you don't. Sure, there's some things goes on at youth camp that I don't approve of. But overall, I'd say 98% is good. Good. And 98% can swallow up 2% any old day. I'm talking about train up a child. Take advantage of youth service. Take advantage of youth camp. Take advantage. I might as well say it. Shame on you if you go to a basketball game instead of a rally. I might as well say it. Shame on you if you go to a baseball game or softball game on Saturday night instead of coming to the Apostolic Church. I might as well say it. Shame on you if you take your kids and go camping on Saturday night and Sunday when they ought to be in the house of God. This book still reads train of a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I can't get my kids to come to youth service. You know why? Because you didn't bring them when they were small. I can't get them to sing in the choir. I thank God for these little tots on Sunday morning. Some of them that can't sing, but they're used to it now. They're coming up here. They're going to be singers. Don't hold them back. A little child comes to the altar. I've seen them when they were so young, they almost had to crawl to the altar. I have seen parents run and grab them and jerk them out of the altar and say they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they don't. And maybe they do. And on the other hand, as they grow and mature, and it would be good if they still come to the altar, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. You know, why am I teaching like this? You know, some of us have let our loved ones, we let kids slip out of our grasp that attend our church. Some of them are not connected with church families. They're our total responsibility. A child comes to our Sunday school that does not have Christian parents. We've got a job to teach that child the way that's right. And then some old sourpuss gets up and tries to run them off, but not realizing that those kids don't have the training that your kids should have. They may come in with a sun-back dress on. Yours don't, I hope. But it's altogether a different story when they're coming from parents who have never taught them these things. It was Brother Glass told a story about a young lady. She was a relative's daughter that came to their church where he was pastoring. She came a few times, and one night she came to the altar, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, somewhat like Linda Hall was. Just came from a family that didn't know anything about the Pentecostal blessings and came in and found God. And said, just as soon as that girl started speaking with tongues, one of the old hens in the church, and I don't say that about old women because they're older, but I'm talking about the kind that'll do this. She ran straight to the telephone and called that girl's dad up, who was a real estate man, who knew nothing about Pentecost. The girl was actually having to just kind of slip her way into the Pentecostal services. And she said, I want to tell you something. Your daughter got the Holy Ghost tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Well, sure it was wonderful. But why couldn't she wait and let that girl give her own testimony? Supposed to be in mind, when I was a kid, I told you the heart foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. When I was a little boy, and I judge age by where we live, because we moved every year, and I know about where I lived at that time. So this was 1935, and I was 10 years old. Maybe I was 9 going on 10. And my grandmother had a birthday on March the 10th, and my mother bought her some yard goods to make her a dress. Now, that didn't cost much in those days, but this was hard times in 1935. So we were walking up to my grandparents' house, and when we got in about 200 yards of the house, my mother said, now, Junior, don't tell what we've got. Let's surprise her. You know what I did? I broke in a run. I run just as fast as I could. I ran into the house, and I pulled Grandma down, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. They've got your dress. They're going to surprise you. But don't tell them that I told you, okay? And they came in, gave that dress. She said, well, said Junior told me. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. The rod of correction changes that of a child, you see. I shouldn't have. That's a small thing. But I shouldn't have done that. That's the same spirit this old gal had. She ran to the telephone and said, now you'll have to buy her some dresses. Said she can't be wearing those trousers anymore. Said, I guess you'll make her get rid of all them shorts. And she went on and on and on until that guy was so mad at her and the church. And he was sitting there waiting for that daughter to come in to find out what was going on. And he said, what kind of a church, what kind of a mess have you gotten yourself into anyhow? Yeah, my Lord. Now, there's how silly we can be, see. So the girl, she only had one dress. She had many trousers, like, you know, pantsuits. She only had one dress that she had been wearing to that church a few times she got to come. And she came back to Brother, and her dad told her, he said, I'm not buying you no more clothes. You've got enough clothes. You can do without, as far as I'm concerned, a church that's that stupid and that silly. Well, the church is not stupid and it's not silly. If he could have been taught the reasons for these things, he would have probably seen it different. But that woman was stupid and silly to call and to try to do the preaching herself. And she came to Brother Glass and said, Brother Glass, what can I do? I've only got this one dress. Dad won't buy me no more. What am I going to do? And he said, honey, I tell you what you do. Brother Glass is a great man of wisdom. Now, he's a man. He said, you wear that one dress. Press it. Starch it, whatever you have to do. Make it look as good as you can. And you just keep your mouth shut and just come on to church. Just keep wearing that one dress. Said the next service, she was there with that same little dress on. And the next service, she was there with the same little dress on. That went on about 5 services. And then she came running in one day, and she said, Brother Glass, look. And she whirled around and said, look. He said, what is it? She said, Daddy bought me this. And he bought me 6 more. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, folks, I'm telling you the truth. Everybody can be reached if we'll try. Sometimes when that child comes, we have to take. That girl didn't enjoy wearing the same dress every day. But there was something about that quiet, meek, humble spirit. Something about her keeping on, keeping on. Something that her religion showed through that her dad must have said, there must be something to it after all. Amen. Where we have failed, God help us make amends today to train up a child in the way it should go. I want to reflect on this, and time is gone, but I want to say this. Brother Mark got on to me here a while back because I always stop at 9. The reason I do that, I want a crowd next Wednesday night. And the reason I quit at 12 on Sunday is because I want folks to come back the next Sunday. I watch these birds that stay till 1:30 and 2 o'clock and stay till 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night. I see what happens. No visitors. No, and half of the people don't. I realize you've worked all day. But I want to tell you this. People come into the church, they're just babies in the Lord. I talked to Brother Johnny today. When he came to us, 30 years old, above 30 years old, he had much more formal education than I have. He knew a lot of things and knows a lot of things that I don't know. But he was just a baby as far as preaching was concerned. And some few fellows, even the ones that he received the Holy Ghost under, the evangelist, said, man, if you're called, get out and get with it. Am I right? Say, hit the road. You've got no more business hitting the road until you learn what it's all about. And so I said to Johnny, I said, maybe you don't realize it, but you are learning. You've been in your church. You know now that you don't preach everybody that wants to preach in your pulpit.
Right.
You've learned that here. We've trained him. He's heard telephone calls and fellows wanting to come, wanting to preach, and with gifts and callings and God calls. If God calls somebody in Kalamazoo, he's going to let me know about it too. I mean, there's some things that you just don't have to be silly about, see. And I said, you learn other situations. You see how to handle things. You're being trained. If it takes 5 years, so what? People go to college for 4, 5, 7, and 8 years to learn a trade. Amen. If it takes 10 years, so what? Look at Moses. He is 40 years. And then 40 years more. 80 years. You say, well, how in the world could he do anything after his 80 years? He led the people all the way to Jordan. Praise God, praise God. Let's stand together, will you? Let's stand together and praise the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and praise God for his goodness. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Lest you should get the wrong impression, should you beat your child? No. Because the word rod is used does not mean that you have the right to beat your child. You should not bruise, beat, hurt your child. If you do it just right when they're small, you can conquer them with a broom straw. In fact, Brenda, when she was small and she'd do something wrong, I'd say, Brenda, I'm going to have to whip you. And she just, her eyes would just turn to water. Still does when she gets upset. And I'd go get a broom straw. Just pull it out of the broom. I'd say, now, Brenda, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to whip you because I told you I was going to. I'm going to do it. And she'd scream like I was beating her with a belt. Just a straw. She couldn't even feel it. But the message was there that I did not like what she had done. Now, it wouldn't work with Rendell. I couldn't use a broom straw on him. Amen. It took a little bit stiffer broom straw than that. More like the broom handle. But there is a way to correct a child when they're wrong. And tell them why you're correcting them. Tell them why. Like I said about young people in the church, you know, you teach them to have long hair, not cut the hair and all that. They want to know why. Tell them why. Tell them what the Bible says about it. They want to know why they can't go to other things. I tell you how you can know. Look what happened to so-and-so. They went there. I could go deep in some things now. Look what happens to kids that stays outside the camp meeting when they go to camp meeting and don't go inside. Look what has happened. Look what happens. See, they should be in the tabernacle, not outside. Praise God. Let's all call on the Lord, would you? Lord, we do love you. We adore you and we praise you. And we ask, Lord, that this message may be implanted in the minds of people somewhere. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know a pastor that is very rough sometimes toward his children. His little boy slipped into a room recently with some more boys and was watching television late at night, which was against his father's wishes. The father runs in and breaks up the party, and he kicks his little boy roughly. He kicks him. And then he says, oh, I've messed up. I kicked my boy. That's right, he messed up. If the program they were watching was wrong and if it was a sin, there's a better way to correct than kick your child. Am I right? Between the two, I don't know what they're watching, but if they're watching about the roughest thing I can think of, Dallas. If they're watching Dallas or Dynasty, is that the way you pronounce it? If they were watching that, between the two, I'll take Dallas before I will a father kicking his little boy. And yet I believe that we should correct our children. Train them in the way they should go. Blessed be the Lord. Everybody say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.